Today on Real Life Radio.
3 years we could go through this easy on the names of God in the Bible. Why did he do this? Why is it so important to him that you know his name? Under his name are a host of names.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now, Part 3 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. This portion of Scripture not only shows how much God loves us, but it also expresses His deep desire for our salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lord over all the heavens and earth. Therefore, all of mankind will one day submit to Him, not by force, but by choice. What is the definition of lordship? Well, it's a title of authority that Jesus, quite frankly, has always held, but it's our decision whether or not we allow him to be the Lord over our lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God gave Jesus the name above every other name. Even the grave could not hold him in the ground. God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will raise us up by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible here in Luke 9:51 says he went to Jerusalem. That's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7 is an amazing statement, as the book of Isaiah is. And again, we're studying that on Wednesday nights. Isaiah's statements, this guy, Isaiah, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would speak. And he's not an easy prophet to understand, but there are statements that he makes that are so gloriously clear that it's shocking, but you and I live on this side now of the resurrection. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Speaking about the Messiah, nor did I turn away. Think of Jerusalem. I gave my back, willingly, that is, gave my back to those who struck me. Did Jesus do that, ladies and gentlemen? And my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. That's brutal, gruesome, bloody work. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Sound familiar? Sounds like we're reading the New Testament here. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set, the word is hardened, fixed, anchored my face like flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Jesus Christ in, listen, God in human skin, feeling everything that you and I feel. He felt the breeze. He felt the heat. He felt the cold. He felt the shame. He felt the pain. Was not deterred. I'm going to the cross. It's going to cost me my life. I'm going to a place I've never been. I've never been locked in a body, in a human body. I've never known what it's felt like to have your hands and feet pierced with nails. I don't know what it's like to have my back laid open and the beard with a stick twisted in my beard and my face, my cheeks plucked out of my jaw. I don't know what that's like, but that's where I'm going. And I'm going to do it for this reason. I'm going to save them. Our God saves. You have a bigger, better God than that? Remember growing up? My dad can beat up your dad. Remember growing up? Boy, did we all get our dads in trouble as kids growing up. Remember that? Do kids do that anymore? Is that illegal? When I was growing up, that was the deal. And my dad could beat up any other dad. My dad taught judo. So when I said, my dad could beat up your dad. I had one kid tell me one time, it was amazing. I said, my dad could beat up your dad. The kid goes, so what? It caught me off guard. He said, my dad could beat up your dad. And he said, my mom can beat up my dad. Then I understood, and I backed down. If this statement blesses you, then it came from God, and if it doesn't, then it's then I wrote it. And I put this down this morning. Jesus never once viewed the cross as a sad thing or the wrong thing. It was his passion to go to the cross. He knew what was on the other side of the cross. That was his resurrection, which would secure heaven for every person who would trust him for it. And it's true, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, knowing. And I had to pause there reading this verse. Knowing, do I? Do I know this? Do we know it? If we know this, has it affected us? If we know this, has it changed us? Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, will raise you up also from the grave. So when that body died, the grave held that body. Because you and I are sinners, our souls were guilty. And so the grave had all of its tentacles wrapped around us. But when Jesus died, the grave couldn't hold him. Imagine for a moment, imagine Jesus is now, he dies on the cross, he's laid in the tomb, and death is upon him. Watch. Death is upon him, and the power of it is all around him. It's surveying his body, and it's looking for handles. It's looking for a way to latch on. The grave is trying to grab, trying to find a crack, trying to find a handle, trying to find something whereby the grave could hold him down. And it couldn't find anything. The grave, as it were, came to the edge of the pool and was clawing, trying to get out, and couldn't grab onto a thing. And when Jesus rose from the dead, because the grave had to expel him, he was perfect. That very power that raised him, because of your faith in Christ, not in yourself. I heard some knucklehead, world famous knucklehead on TV say, if you just have enough faith in faith, you will, you know, his thing. I wanted to shake my TV. You understand what, you understand? That statement's insane. You are to never have faith in faith. Faith is what takes you to the object or the one that you're to trust in. Your faith can be as weak as grass and yet stand on the corner, as it were, and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. And do you know what Jesus does to you? He takes your chin that is glued to your chest, and he just, with his finger, he just raises up your chin and he looks right in your eyes. A broken reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. God is looking for the slightest ember of faith toward him, and he'll scoop you up. He died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the grave. He loves you. And listen, this is the amazing thing about God's love. We don't get it. Let's just be honest. We don't get it. Because here's how we think. We think, in our twisted form of Christianity, gosh, I've had a really good week. I feel acceptable to God. We would never articulate that, because down deep inside, we know it's wrong. But we're thinking, I think God loves me this week. Doing pretty good. Nope. He doesn't love you any more or less. I've been pretty bad this week. I'm pretty certain God hates me. Nope. Did you know his love doesn't change? It doesn't waver. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? You mean if I am, you know what? Like my grandson right now, he's in this mode. He's at 3.5. He missed the terrible twos. It's like it hit him like 3.5. So he comes walking in the house yesterday, and you can tell he's all riled up because his cheeks are all red, he's sweaty. And he's had a really, what's with you? He goes like this. He goes walking in the house. He goes walking in. I don't want to be good. I go, what's with this? What do you mean? You don't want to be good. I'm not gonna be a good boy. Just flat out says it. You know, we're worse than that. We lie about it. He just comes around the house. I am not going to be a good boy today. And I'm trying to like stop from laughing. And it's great now being grandparents. You know, this is awesome. It's like, man, this kid's acting up. Mom, get over here. He's acting up. It's great. It's awesome. But I thought, man, how great is that? How great is that? And I thought grandparents, by the way, parents are all about, tuck your shirt in. Don't do that. Stop it. Don't get your finger out of your nose. Stop that. Don't do that. Don't pull her hair. Stop. Parents are all about the law, raising the kids like that. Don't do that. Don't. You're colored outside the line right now. Grandparents, it's all grace. Yeah. Grandparents are closer to God than parents are. We're more biblical. I don't want to be a good boy today. What up? Love you anyway. Want some popcorn? Yeah. Seriously. Isn't that God is with us? I'm not being very good today. And God says, well, you know what? I love you. Here's the deal. How many times does God change your course when he tells you, oh, I love you? It doesn't change anything. He still loves you. Some of you are running from God right now. You're Christians. And you're being really boneheaded about your life, but God loves you. He doesn't approve of what you're doing. And look, it's like the wall socket over there. You lick that wall socket, you're going to get shocked. If you're running around town licking wall sockets, you're going to get fried. That's what happens. Sin will have its payment. It doesn't change God's love for you. I find it interesting that when a child is disciplined, the first thing out of their mouth is, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. Isn't that amazing? They don't say, do you hate me or what? Have you noticed that when a child is disciplined? They don't say, do you hate me? What'd you do that for? They know exactly why they got it. And they say, I love you. God loves you. Look at verse 9, latter part. It says, and has given him the name which is above every name. The name. Given him the name, the names of God. There are libraries filled with books on the names of God. I say name because it's the name, and under the name are all the names of God. You know, there's a whole bunch from Genesis to Revelation. Did you know, I am not kidding. We could take the entire rest of this new year, every Sunday and Wednesday, and do a study on the names of God, and we would still need, seriously, probably about 104 more Sundays. 3 years we could go through this easy on the names of God in the Bible. Why did he do this? Why is it so important to him that you know his name? Under his name are a host of names. So, listen, Genesis 17, verse 1. I'm only going to touch on 35 of them right now. No, we're out of time. I'm just going to touch on a couple. Genesis 17, 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, that's Yahweh, that's his name, Yah, appeared to Abram and said to him, El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. Number one, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, caps, that's Yah, tetragrammaton, Yahweh, that's his name. What is the name of your God? Yahweh. Yahweh's my God. Regarding Yahweh, what is he? What's his character? What's his nature? How do I know him? Genesis 17:1. God says to Abram, I am the Almighty. Walk before me. I'm El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient, mighty God. This is sweet. Now listen, I said this last service, and I was waiting for a panic. Just hear me out. Who's Abram? Listen, class, Abram. Think, don't speak, just think. Abram, was he a Jew or a Gentile? Abram's a Gentile. Well, is he from Jerusalem or is he from Ur of the Chaldees? Ur of the Chaldees. Was that polytheistic or monotheistic in worship? Polytheistic. Abram was a pagan worshiping Gentile. Abraham, listen, if you're Jewish right now, you're getting upset with me. And yet everything I've told you is true. Abraham, circumcised or not? When God met him, not circumcised. When God said that God attributes to him his righteousness by faith, he was not circumcised. Did Abraham keep the Ten Commandments or no? There were no Ten Commandments. Moses hadn't been born yet. The first Jew was a Gentile. You become a Jew. Is your name Judy? Is your name Jude? Is your name Judith? It's all out of the root Jew. The word Jew is one who praises God. You can be a Jew today and not praise God at all. In Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, it says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh by human hands, but he is a Jew who is one that is circumcised inwardly, whose circumcision is not of human hands, but of the heart. I then would be, you would, if you're a worshiper of God, a Jew in spirit. It doesn't mean, I'm not promoting replacement theology by no means. That's heretical. I'm saying in the spirit, I'm a worshiper of God. My heart's been circumcised. Abraham worshiped God without physical circumcision because his heart was circumcised. He met God without the Ten Commandments, without an altar, without circumcision. Are you with me? And God declared him righteous by his faith in God. It's a picture for us. The name of God, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. The next one, and we'll have to end with this one, the next one is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Doesn't that sound? That's amazing. I even like the way it sounds. Who are you? I am who I am. It's like obvious. The word in Hebrew is Hayah. Again, Y-A-H, the name of God. But he says to Moses, I am who I am. Church, listen, the word means the eternal one, the self-contained one. The word is the becoming one. This is cool. From this, the I am, you get all the other names. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Did you know, listen, Jesus said, ego eimi. That's Greek for I am. The Hayah of Hebrew, in Hebrew, is equal to the Greek ego eimi. Say, so what? You do. Hey, this is a big so what. When Jesus says, I am living water, he's declaring, I am the self-contained, forever eternal, becoming one. I'm invoking the very person of God for who I am. Listen, do you remember people have said, Jesus never claimed to be God. They don't even know what they're talking about. Don't let anyone ever fool you with that knucklehead statement again. Well, Jesus never claimed to be God. He not only claimed to be God, he said his name was God's name. When Jesus said, and this is amazing, when all the Pharisees came to Jesus in John's gospel, and they said, that's it, we've had enough, it's over. They would have taken up their robes and tied it in a knot right above their knee. And they would have picked up stones, and they would have gone to the mound, and they would have gone into the windup. And they're going to stone Jesus. And he says, wait! He doesn't say, don't stone me. He just says, wait a minute. For what good work are you stoning me for? Isn't that a great line? So which one of the miracles you didn't like? And you could see them just like this. Just like right in the windup, almost in the delivery. And they could stop. Oh, wait. No. We're not killing you because the miracles, those are great. Really appreciate them. It's fantastic. Great show. We're not killing you for that. And they say it. We are going to kill you because you are a man and you have declared yourself to be God. Ego eimi. Jesus said, I am who I am? Do you know him like this? Do you know his name and his nature? God has given him a name, which is above all names. Next time we'll get into this together. But more than ever, dear Christian, know who you're talking about. A friend of mine sent me a picture yesterday from London, and there was a girl on the street. And I should have brought it. She had a poster that she had made, and she said, I'm a Christian, and I forget what it was about. I'm a Christian, and I worship Allah, or something like this. And I looked at that, and I thought, this is exactly what's wrong in the world today. Where people can afford to mix truth like that, or to poison truth, they'll do it. I just find it interesting. Think, and we'll be done. Be careful who or how you know this God of the Bible. He shares his glory with no one. He alone is God. There is no other. And if a Christian says that statement like she did, the Islamic world has no problem with it because they just bite their tongue and laugh on the inside. But if you were to go to a Muslim country and say such a thing, it'd cost you your life. Because they know that's not true for their own reason. I'm asking you to not embrace this church. I'm not even asking you to embrace Christianity. I'm not asking you to embrace anything on this planet. I'm asking you to embrace the one true God, Jesus Christ, come to earth, Lord and Savior, over all God, the blessed hope. And our glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, this Jesus Christ. Do you know him that clearly, that simply? I hope so. Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth and for Jesus. To think of the name Jesus, how many times have we all been sick or hurt, injured, fearful, bad dream, scary driver, whatever it is, rough seas, bumpy flight. And we've simply said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, may we go from this place today with our hearts on fire. May we run out of this building, Lord, ablaze. It's only and it has always been Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you make the choice to follow Jesus Christ by accepting his love and forgiveness in your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, with Father's Day just around the corner, we have the perfect gift idea. Pastor Jack's book of the month for June, it's called Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. This timeless book's been speaking to the hearts of men for the past 10 years with engaging illustrations, scriptural wisdom, practical suggestions, and even study questions. Disciplines of a Godly Man is called an inspiring guide for men who want to reflect God's glory in their lives through their family, godliness, leadership, ministry, and so much more.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
This newly revised edition is for every man who wants to know what it means to be a Christian in today's world. Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available right now when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.